In today's first segment, we talked about the developments that led to the introductory statement of the gospel that Jesus Christ preached, as recorded in Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Again, Jesus said, "The time is fulfilled," meaning the time has come. The time had come for his first coming. And then we also talked about Isaiah 46, verse 10, where God makes known the end from the beginning. As the kingdom has been planned and prepared from the very foundation of the world, talked about that, and also from ancient times, God knows what is still to come as his purpose for mankind will stand. His purpose will stand. From this series of slides in the first segment, we see that, first of all, God's purpose regarding the kingdom of God is a prophetic one. There are prophecies regarding the kingdom of God in the Bible. And we will talk a lot more about those prophecies in future seminars, not so much today, but in the ones that will be coming in May, and then again probably in September. Also, God's pleasure, it says here in Luke 12, verse 32, is to give us the kingdom. "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." That's what God wants to do. He wants to give all whom he is calling, he wants to give them the kingdom of God. He wants them to be a part of the kingdom of God at the return of Jesus Christ. He wants them to be ushered into God's kingdom at that point. So in this presentation, the second presentation, we will explain how the kingdom of God is truly at hand, and we will discuss how to make this prophetic event a personal experience for each of us today. From the time Jesus made this landmark statement, the kingdom of God has been the focus of God's message to mankind. And yet the fact is that a lot of churches really don't speak a whole lot about the kingdom of God. They speak about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and certainly Jesus Christ taught the gospel of the kingdom of God, but they say very little about the kingdom of God. They don't really explain what God says in the Bible about what is going to happen in the future. So we do focus on the gospel of the kingdom. Now in this presentation, we will explain how the kingdom of God, again, is at hand, and how it is a prophetic event that we are to look forward to. From the time Jesus made this statement, it has been, again, the focus of God's message. Whereas God formerly dealt primarily with the nation of Israel through human messengers, the kingdom of God, first preached by Jesus Christ, has become the focus of his message, frankly, to mankind, and yet most people are ignorant of the true gospel of the kingdom of God. Now, in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world." And see, most people don't understand what that means, that the one who became Jesus Christ was actually the one through whom God created the world. That there was a pre-existence before Jesus Christ was born of a woman. In John 1, it talks about, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." It's speaking about the Word, or the spokesman, the Logos, who became flesh, as it says, and dwelt among us. So it was Jesus Christ who actually created the worlds, and is very prevalent in the Old Testament. A lot of people don't grasp that. They don't understand the significance of that, but it's very, very important. Now in Luke chapter 16, verse 16, Jesus Christ said, "The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it." You see, for a while, in the first century A.D., the message of the kingdom of God was faithfully preached by Jesus Christ and by the disciples, but heavy persecution set in very quickly, and deception was rampant, it was powerful, and things developed in such a way that are far different from the very beginning when Jesus Christ began to preach the gospel and the disciples preached the gospel and the New Testament church was raised up, the churches have become a whole lot different than what the Church of God originally was. So that's something that, again, a lot of people wonder why there's so much religious confusion in the world today, why so many different denominations and why they all teach different things. It's because of this persecution that God allowed to happen. Satan has deceived the whole world. Scripture says that Satan has deceived the whole world and has even deceived the churches of this world. Now in Matthew chapter 3, verse 1, in those days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And of course, kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God are interchangeable. We showed that in the first seminar that we had. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord and make his paths straight. John the Baptist came to prepare the way before Jesus Christ. So again, how is it that the kingdom is at hand? What does this expression mean? In Matthew 3, verses 1 and 2, again, John the Baptist came saying and preaching, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And Christ, in Mark 1, 14 and 15, also came preaching, saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The truth is that many people who consider themselves Christians don't even understand the meaning of the word repent. They don't really understand what it fully means. So we'll talk more about that in future seminars, what true repentance is, what it means, what God requires. The key words translated time and fulfilled and at hand indicate an immediacy and a sense of urgency. Now is the time to repent. Now is the time to believe the gospel of the kingdom of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Frankly, participation in the kingdom of God is not a passive activity. This woman looks like she's being pretty passive here. It's really not a passive activity. We must be intimately and actively involved in seeking the kingdom of God now. Remember what Christ said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. So there's three issues that I'd like us to consider at this point. Number one, as I said briefly, we will talk more about repentance and more about faith in future seminars. We can't cover everything in just a couple hours. There's much more to be said, but we will do that in future seminars. Again, we should ask ourselves, in what way was the kingdom of God at hand when Jesus made this statement nearly 2,000 years ago? And thirdly, remember that Christ said this 2,000 years ago, roughly, and he has still not returned to establish the kingdom of God. The next slide, and it shows Colossians chapter 1. Verses 13 and 14, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed or transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. In other words, speaking of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Although there are others, let us consider two key points at this time. Number one, the gospel of the kingdom of God is the good news that Jesus Christ died for our sins to rescue us from the penalty of death and the power of darkness. Make no mistake, we are Christians. We believe in Jesus Christ as our Messiah. Some people get us confused because of some of our beliefs and some of our practices that, frankly, we get right out of the Bible. But we are indeed Christians who believe in Jesus Christ as the Messiah. We do not believe that we are saved by our law-keeping. We believe we are saved by grace. We are saved because Christ died for us. It was by his shed blood that we are saved. And secondly, another key point is the gospel of the kingdom of God also offers the opportunity to be prepared for and frankly to enroll now in this life as key citizens of that coming kingdom of God. Now, we believe Christ is coming and He is going to establish His kingdom, and that He is calling some people now to be ambassadors for Christ at this time to prepare the way for Christ's second coming. John the Baptist was sent to prepare the way for Christ's first coming. We believe God has sent us to help prepare the way for a second coming, so we announce the coming kingdom of God. Now, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, the Apostle Paul writes, "For our citizenship is in heaven," speaking of the church brethren, "our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies." Some of us were talking about the frailty of the human flesh. Frankly, as the older we get, the more we realize how frail these bodies are. And even when young people are sick, they realize how frail this human flesh is. But Christ will transform our lowly body into a glorious body, just as Christ, who is human, but was raised spirit. And Christ is now at the right hand of the God. He has a right hand of God. He's spiritual. He has a spirit body. We're going to be like Christ. The Bible says we shall be like Him. So it is important that we understand these things. In John chapter 18, verse 36, Christ said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Remember, Satan is the god of this world. Christ said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Back 2,000 years ago, that wasn't the time to usher in the kingdom of God. Christ came to pronounce or to announce the coming kingdom, but it wasn't ready, it wasn't ripe at that time for the establishment of the kingdom of God. So ask ourselves, what does it mean to be a citizen of the kingdom of God? What does it mean to be a citizen? Well, first of all, it means that our citizenship is registered in heaven. As you see on the slide here, our citizenship is registered in heaven, where the coming King of Kings, Jesus Christ, now resides at the right hand of God. Secondly, we now wait for God's kingdom to come to earth when Christ returns in the near future. We're waiting for the return of Christ. Thirdly, we can now experience... Let's go back here. Thirdly, we can now experience the benefits of the kingdom by living according to God's laws that will govern that kingdom when it's established on the earth for 1,000 years, and it will expand from that point forward for all eternity. So we believe that there are things that we should learn now about God's kingdom. There are values that we should learn. There are ways that we should live. And fourthly and ultimately, we need to understand that these mortal bodies of ours will be transformed into a glorious spirit body at Christ's return. And from that point forward, we will experience the fullness of the kingdom of God on forever. So this next slide shows 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 through 53. Paul writes, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep," which is speaking of death, "we shall not all die, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." So the gospel is an invitation to the kingdom of God, because the time has come to become part of what will ultimately result in the establishment of the world-ruling kingdom of God. Christ is going to rule the world when He comes back, and He's going to rule with a rod of iron, as it says in the Bible. Even though Christ is a loving and wonderful being, He is going to rule with a rod of iron at that time. So the gospel offers that invitation now as an opportunity of training. We believe God is in the process of training some people, and He's qualifying them to assist Jesus Christ as priests in that coming kingdom. In fact, in Revelation chapter 1, if we go there, it shows that Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, has made us a kingdom of priests to His God and Father. God is in the process of calling some to become kings and priests to rule in the kingdom of God, to begin ruling with Christ at Christ's return. But many, many people are frankly ignorant of that wonderful destiny to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years on the earth. That's what the Scripture plainly teaches. Now in Revelation chapter 5, it says, "And they sang a new song, saying, You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for You were slain, and have redeemed us to God by Your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And You have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." See, a lot of people don't say a whole lot about the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ on the earth. That's what the Scripture teaches very clearly and very plainly, that Christ will rule on the earth for 1,000 years prior to the new heavens and the new earth. So it is important to understand what the Bible truly does teach. So who may be a part of God's coming kingdom? Jesus made some important distinctions regarding who may become part of the kingdom of God. You see, we must first be called and chosen by God. God is not calling everyone right now. There are billions of people on earth and billions of people who have died throughout the ages, and many of them never even heard the name of Jesus Christ. And certain people would have you believe that they're writhing in hell forever. That's not what the Bible teaches. Again, it's important to understand what the Bible teaches about mankind and mankind's fate and life after death. And again, we don't have time to go into those issues, but we have booklets that go into life after death and what happens and what the truth is from your Bible. So only those that God is calling now will be a part of the coming kingdom at Christ's return. Jesus made some important distinctions again regarding this. Now in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12, the Apostle Paul said that we are to walk worthy of God who calls you into His own kingdom and glory. God has to call a person. I believe the reason you're here today is because God is calling you. You know, God is drawing you to Him. I mean, there aren't many people here when you think of how large this area is. I mean, we're covering all of Northwest Arkansas, and we just have a few people. We didn't have, you know, we sent this out to a lot more people than showed up. Only a very few have actually come, and perhaps it's because God is drawing you and calling you to His truth. And what you do with it, of course, is up to you. But we are told that we are to walk worthy of God who calls us into His own kingdom and His glory. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, God has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Again, we see this was before the world began. God had a purpose. God saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose. So again, who may be a part of God's kingdom? It is very important to know that God is calling relatively few people today. Out of the billions of people who are on earth, God is calling relatively few, very few, in fact, in consideration of the billions who live. He is choosing far fewer than he's calling. The scripture says many are called, but few are chosen. So he's not, certainly not calling the billions on earth today. Of those relatively few that he is calling, he's choosing far less, because frankly, a lot of people will not respond to God's call. God calls them, God draws them, but the cares of this world are too much. The cares of this world choke out the truth. And Satan has a hand in that, in deceiving people. So God is calling relatively few people at this time. In Acts chapter 2, verse 39, the Apostle Peter said, "For the promise is to you." It was given to the disciples at that time, and those who were there on the day of Pentecost when the New Testament church began. "For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off." Talking about us today. 2,000 years later, that's pretty far down the line. "And to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." Again, God is calling people to Him. And we see this clearly in the next slide, John chapter 6, verse 65. "And He said, therefore I have said to you that no one can come to Me," no one can come to Me, to Christ, unless it has been granted to Him by My Father. So God the Father is the one who calls us to understand that Christ is indeed the Messiah. The Jews, for the most part, rejected Jesus Christ as the Messiah, and most of the world has rejected Jesus Christ as the Messiah. That's because God the Father, frankly, wasn't calling them and drawing them to an understanding of that truth. In John 12, verse 32, Christ said, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to Myself." So the Father draws people to Christ, and Christ draws people to Himself. And God the Father is personally selecting those who are to become Christ's disciples at this time. But ultimately, all people will have an opportunity to be called of God. When you really understand what the Bible teaches about God's master plan for salvation, God is going to call everyone, even the billions who have died. God is going to give them an opportunity to have life once again and to truly know Him and to either accept Him or reject Him at that time. We believe that's what the Scripture tells us, but the Scripture was written in such a way that, frankly, most people don't understand what the Bible teaches. You see, God ultimately plans to extend the kingdom to all of mankind. All people will come to a knowledge of the truth. All people will come to know God in the future. But currently, the majority of mankind has not been given the privilege to understand the truth of God. To them, God's salvation plan is indeed a mystery. It is a mystery to them, and they do not and cannot understand. God hasn't opened their minds to understand. So you can't blame them, because God's not opening their minds to that truth. Now, some He may open their mind, and if they don't respond to what He reveals to them, then He will stop calling them. I was mentioning that to one of you earlier, that God reveals certain truth to us, and as long as we respond to that truth and begin to live it, then He will give us more truth. He will bring us into more understanding. But if we reject it, then He stops drawing us to Him at that point. You know, and He's patient and He's forgiving, so He may give us a few opportunities, but you can't reject Him for long until He stops drawing you to Him. Now, this next slide explains something that, frankly, a lot of people just don't get. They don't understand it. And Christ said it very clearly in Matthew chapter 13, verse 10. The disciples came to Christ and said to Him, "Why do you speak to these people in parables?" Remember, there were 10,000 people that would come to Christ, or 5,000 or 2,000. He says, why do you speak to them in parables? Christ answered and said to them, because it has been given to you, to my disciples, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. Most of those people just didn't really understand, and they didn't really comprehend what Christ was really saying, because he talked to them in parables. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. So Christ wasn't calling most people, even back at the time when he was here at his first coming. He spoke so that, frankly, many people would not understand, because he wasn't calling everyone at that time. And the next slide speaks to that as well, verses 15 and 16. Christ says, for the hearts of this people have grown dull. He knew that most of the people there wouldn't listen any more than the children of Israel listened to God back in ancient times. The vast majority of the children of Israel rejected God. So he said, for the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. You know, God is calling some people, and their eyes are opened, and their ears are open. Now the New Living Translation makes this clearer and more easily understood. It says, these people are hardened. Their hearts are hardened, their ears cannot hear, and they have closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. In fact, the book of Romans shows that God actually hardened some so that he could have mercy on them later. It's a part of his plan. God is only calling a relatively few people these days. So God, again, is calling few, and he's calling them for a purpose, and that is to prepare them to rule and reign with Christ at his return. So again, who may be a part of the coming kingdom of God? Many people may be a part of the kingdom of God, but at a later time. The vast majority of mankind will have an opportunity to repent of their sins, to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, but now is not that time. That's coming in the future. In John 12, verse 32, Christ said, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. And that is going to happen eventually, that Christ will draw all peoples to himself. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, Paul writes, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. That is God's desire, that all men will come, including women, of course, mankind, that all people will come to a knowledge of the truth. So the next slide, again, it shows 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul says, in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order. So there's a specific order that God's working with. Again, God isn't calling everyone now. He's calling some now, and he will call others later. Each in his own order, according to God's will and according to the response that people give when he begins to draw them to himself. So ask yourself, are you being called now? Does this make sense to you, what I'm saying today? Does it make sense? Are you being called now? Are your eyes opened? Are your ears opened? Are you able to understand? Are you being called now? Well, if you are, it's because the Father is drawing you to Him and to His Son. Jesus clearly said that the Father must draw those who come to Him. In John 6:44, he said, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Speaking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. that he will raise those up who have been called at this time and who have accepted him as Savior. If they've died, he will raise them up. He will bring them out of the graves, and they will rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. And if they're alive in Christ, then they will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. They will rise to meet Christ in the air, and then they will come and rule on the earth for 1,000 years. We showed that earlier. Thayer's Lexicon says the Greek word translated draw here in John 6:44 means to draw by inward power. God himself is drawing people to him. Like a magnet draws and attracts and moves steel, God is working in your mind to draw you and call you to himself. God draws those whom he chooses by motivating their hearts to respond to his calling. Now, again, we don't believe that the law is done away. And yet many churches believe that God's law is done away. They don't keep all the Ten Commandments. They keep some of them, but they don't keep them all. And that's a fact. They don't keep all of the commandments. We believe that those commandments are still in effect. We believe that God still wants us to keep his commandments. The Sabbath commandment, frankly, the Sabbath was set apart at creation. The Sabbath was sanctified and made holy at creation. And frankly, it's a test commandment. Will you yield to God's calling? Will you? Will you begin to keep the Sabbath as God has called you to understand? I mean, does this make sense to you? The Sabbath is the fourth commandment. And yet most people observe Sunday. They don't observe the Sabbath. They don't observe the day that God sanctified at creation. They keep the day of the sun. That began in sun worship. And frankly, it was a day that man changed, not a day that God changed. The Sabbath is still holy. It's still in effect. It's Saturday. That's why we meet on Saturdays. So these are important questions to ask, to consider. Does it make any difference to God whether you go to church on Saturday or Sunday? I mean, people will tell you it makes no difference, but what does the Bible say? So, again, is God drawing you? And if not, why else would you be here? Out of so many people who were invited to come today, why would you be here? So if God is drawing you, Jesus says you are blessed because most have not been given the opportunity or the ability to understand the secrets of the kingdom of God. This next slide, Matthew 22, verse 14, it says, for many are called, but few are chosen. That's what I mentioned earlier. And ask yourself, how should you respond to God's calling? How should you respond? Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul says, we then, as workers together with him, with Christ, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Now, we believe that we're saved by grace, but we're not to receive that grace in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. This is the day of salvation for all whom God is calling now. For everyone whose eyes have been opened and whose ears have been opened, now is that day of salvation. In 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 12, again it says, Paul says, we should walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. There is a certain way that we're supposed to conduct ourselves, a certain way that we're supposed to live. We are to walk worthy of our calling. For those of you whom God has called and is drawing now, now is the accepted time for you. Now is your day of salvation. So I encourage you to heed the admonition of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah in chapter 55, verse verse 6 said, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Seek the Eternal while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." We're going to have some tumultuous times on the earth in the years ahead. I'm convinced that just before Christ's return, this whole earth is going to be in upheaval. There will be earthquakes, there will be tsunamis, there will be all kinds of catastrophic events that take place. Now is a good time to seek the Eternal while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. The New English translation says, "Seek the Lord while he makes himself available." He's available right now. He makes himself available. Call to him while he is nearby. Now is the time to prepare for a great tribulation that is prophesied to come upon the earth. Wait until the tribulation hits and then begin to prepare. That's a little too late. Now is the time to prepare. Many have called out in vain to God because their hearts are not right as they refuse to obey God's commandments. In Luke chapter 6, verse 46 through 48, Christ said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say?" Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I say? Okay, where am I? I need to back up a little bit here. Oh, I've gone the wrong way, haven't I? You see, we're getting close to the end. It won't be long now. Let's go back. Okay, here we are. Luke 6, verses 46 through 48. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on that rock," or on the rock. Of course, the rock is Jesus Christ. The rock is our foundation. So we have to look at what Christ taught. Christ said, "I came not to destroy the law." Nowhere do you find that Christ came to destroy the law. Man has been deceived by Satan into believing the law was done away, that it was nailed to the cross. It's not what the Bible teaches, not what Christ said. "Now you have received the most important invitation of all time. How are you going to respond? What must you do to respond to God's calling?" In Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15, Paul writes, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." Okay, we are bringing you glad tidings of good things. This is the good news of the coming kingdom of God. This is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Romans 10, verses 16 and 17, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Obeying the word, that's what it's talking about. We are to live by every word of God, are we not? We can't pick and choose. God says we're to live by every word of God. In Romans 10, verses 8 and 9, "The word is near you, it's in your mouth and it's in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Okay, that's a promise. If you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, and if you truly repent of your sins — sin is the breaking of the law. Sin is the transgression of the law. If you continue to break the laws of God, then you haven't repented. The point is that you don't need to go anywhere to find Christ in order to respond to God's calling. access to Him, and what He offers is as near as your heart and your mouth. You have to listen to your heart, and you have to speak the words of truth as well. You can accept God's calling by committing yourself to live God's way and living by faith in every aspect of life. This means to live your lives in a way that God would consider worthy, for He called you to share in His kingdom and His glory. Now, the verses that we've just gone through in the book of Romans, these verses spell out exactly why we're holding the Kingdom of God seminars, so that you can hear the message of the gospel of the kingdom that will result in peace on earth when Christ returns to establish that kingdom. So let's make one thing clear. Paul tells us in Romans 6:23 that no one can earn salvation. We don't believe in earning our salvation. We do not believe that we can earn our salvation by keeping the law, by keeping the Sabbath. That's not how we earn our salvation. But it is a gift from God. You know, salvation is a gift from God. However, we must follow the teachings of Jesus Christ, or we're not going to be given that gift. We won't be given the gift if we don't humble ourselves and begin to do the things that God shows us are the truth and what He expects of us. In Revelation chapter 1, it says, "Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it." Now, he's talking about the entire book of Revelation. And not long ago, or in fact, we're still going through a series of sermons on the book of Revelation and what the book of Revelation prophesies and what is going to happen in the future. There is a blessing on those who hear the words of the prophecy of the book of Revelation and keep the things which are written for the time. This is the word kairos, is near. The time is near. There's another time now that has come upon us. Christ is going to return soon. We don't know how soon, but we believe it's very soon. Christ is coming back to this earth. Certainly now is our time to yield ourselves and obey God and follow Him. We don't know how long this flesh is going to last, how long it's going to live. We shouldn't take even the next hour for granted. You know, we just don't know. So as we conclude this Kingdom of God seminar, let me emphasize three things. Number one, the events prophesied in the book of Revelation leading up to the end of the age and the return of Christ to establish the Kingdom of God on earth are much nearer now than they were when this book of prophecy was written. 2,000 years ago, we're much closer now than when this prophecy was written. Secondly, so as we have demonstrated throughout this seminar series, we all need God's kingdom now. And the third thing is the good news is that you can become a part of the kingdom of God now, so that when Christ returns, you can share with Him the opportunity to bring peace on earth to all and ultimately to all of mankind. And you can be one who will rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years here on the earth. So in the next seminar, about 4 months from now, we will cover in more detail how we can respond to God's calling and how we can become enrolled in and participate in the kingdom of God. Now, if you want to attend our church services, you're certainly welcome. We meet here, as I said, every Sabbath except next Sabbath, because we're not having church here next Sabbath. But we will be meeting, and you're certainly welcome to join us at any time. If you want to wait until the next Kingdom of God seminar, that's fine too. It's your choice. It's up to you. Certainly you're invited to the next seminar, which will take place sometime in May. And you can go to the internet to find out when that will be, or you can go to Beyond Today Television and we will announce it as we go along. You can call us, if you haven't heard anything and you want to come. We want you to be here. So in the next seminar, we're going to cover in more detail how we can respond to God's calling and how we can begin participating in the kingdom of God even now and beginning to prepare for God's coming kingdom.